And now, back to Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack and our E3 special.
E3 extravaganza.
Yes, trying to cover as much as we can in the short amount of time that we have, since there's so much stuff.
So much stuff.
We'll never actually be able to cover everything, so
we
do apologize.
We got two companies down, so yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
In hard just, a lot of time.
So, yeah, so much stuff. So, like I did earlier on the show, again, apologize if we don't cover the thing you specifically wanted us to hit or... you know, just there's so much stuff. So,
but yeah, yell
we'll
at
do
us
our best.
If we
yeah.
Let us know what you were interested in, and we will, you know, if we have a chance, we'll try and talk about
it. Yeah, we will definitely bring it up, and Caleb will mention how to do that real quickly.
Certainly. You can start out at our own webpage, robotsattack.me, and then go to the interact page, and that will tell you how to get to the rest of it. Our Twitter account, which is robotsattackme, and then Facebook, Robots Attack. You do a search for that two words. And then our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Those are how you get in touch with us.
Alrighty. Well, earlier on we started off with Microsoft, then we moved on over to Nintendo, and now we're going to hit Sony. I watched the Sony conference, and they definitely pushed the Vita. Another company that didn't have a new set of hardware coming out. So, again, just pushing what they have already out there, which makes sense.
Well, it's funny, and I don't know why, but I always forget the Vita exists. I know I shouldn't. I've been impressed with it from the beginning, but it just, like, jumps out of my mind like so many sheep on Labor Day.
Yeah. Well, maybe this year will be... And next will be kind of a hopeful reminder of the Vita for people.
Right. Put a little shine back on it.
Yeah. I'm not going to go exactly in order that they went in the conference, but since I did mention the Vita, I will bring up some of the things that they talked about with the Vita. Mm-hmm. They pushed the cross-platforming with the Vita and the PS3 on one of their specific games, the PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. If you haven't heard of this, think of it as PlayStation's version or Sony's version of Super Smash Brothers.
Nice. Yeah. And actually, it was mistakenly labeled Super Smash Brothers on one of their websites.
Oh, Sony.
Yeah, briefly, but people noticed.
Yeah. Yeah, they demoed this thing, and yeah, it looks a lot like Super Smash Brothers, just... with a, you know, PlayStation brush feel on it. Yeah, they had. They showed off, like, Fat Princess, Sweet Tooth, Kratos, and, Sly Cooper, I think was
okay,
the Cooper.
Okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
And what was interesting about this one as far as the cross-platform, they had two people playing on a PS3 and two people playing with their Vita.
Okay.
All together. At the same time. So it wasn't like the two Vita people were fighting each other. All four.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
That's
like
smart.
That's a neat way to just, you got a buddy over, pull out their Vita. Mm-hmm. If
you're a Sony fan, you probably have one.
Yeah. And you can just sit in the love chair or wherever and just play the exact same game and not have to, you know, be like everyone on the one TV or.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny too. Cause I mean, the one thing that I have seen is a lot of ads for the Vita lately where it's sort of like a video game equivalent of the Microsoft Smart Glass where you like flick your game directly from your system onto your handheld system and carry on, go and do whatever you want.
Yeah. And then one of the things they also, just sort of going on with that, where it's sort of like the Wii U in a sense.
Right.
They mentioned something about Little Big Planet 2. They're going to release some DLC, and they're calling it like cross-controller kind of thing. And what you can use the Vita to like interact with the game. So it's sort of like how the Wii U's what we were talking about. Like, maybe the menu system will show up on this, or you can scan the TV with this thing. that's kind of how, like, you'd use the Vita in a similar way. So
the genius for that, though, is that since it has two different touch-capable things, you can do so much, especially with that game, since a lot of it is about, like, building and sharing and so on. It's pretty genius to use this thing.
It's definitely a cool way to get you to, like, not just think of your Vita as something you only use when you're traveling.
Right.
You know, like, make it a part of your everyday gaming experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really smart.
Yeah, that's a very good idea.
So, yeah, I thought that was a pretty neat little thing. Let's see, what else going off with the Vita?
Play the Vita while you're driving.
But, officer, I thought I could use it while I...
At least you weren't texting.
Oh, maybe they'll have something for that. They're also going to have PS1 classics are going to be introduced for the Vita through the PlayStation Network.
Okay. They promised that with the Go, and it didn't quite get there.
Yeah, I think they have a slightly better network now, you know, like just... Because the Vita itself on. And I think there's going to be better promises in that direction. I mean,
it might actually follow through this time.
Yeah,
that would be sort of nice.
Plus, let's be honest, PlayStation has had to do a lot more work on their system than a lot of other people because they've kind of been like forced to divert their attention away from a lot of things.
Yeah.
And not that that's necessarily fair or whatnot.
Yeah. The Vita is also getting YouTube, Hulu Plus, Crackle.
Mm-hmm.
And
what? They're getting a Sony property?
Yeah. Oh, big shock. And then there's going to be Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified for the Vita. Oh, like all new, you know, like, first brand new game, whatever. They didn't really go into super details on it, but they were like, yes, you know, this is going to be an actual Call of Duty experience and not just like some knockoff.
Right.
Like,
it's not an Unreal shooter.
Yeah.
Now the way that they could get me to play that is if they had a way to plug in an Xbox controller to it.
Yeah. Maybe someday, but... Let's see, what else did I have with the Vita? That was
or even one of the new Wii U controllers, and that'd be fine.
I think the last sort of major thing that interests me, at least, since I don't own a Vita yet, they're bundling the Assassin's Creed Liberation, which is a new Assassin's Creed game for the Vita, which is the first ever female assassin. But it's taking place in the same era that Assassin's Creed 3 is, and it's supposed to unlock some things if you play this game and tag it or tie it with 3 on your PlayStation. You know, you'll unlock, you know, skins or weapons and that sort of thing. But
there you go.
They're coming out with in October a Vita bundle, which is a white Vita, which looked really cool. A 4 gig card. And the Liberation game as a package.
I see what they're doing.
Yeah, they didn't give a price, and I didn't really look it up, but yeah, I just thought that was cool. It's like, oh, because I don't own a Vita yet, and I was like, man, if I was gonna buy one, that's pretty cool.
That's a good excuse.
Because I bought the white PSP, and I liked that one. And I was like, oh, that one looks really neat. Dang it, I don't want to. But
yeah, I kept promising myself after I broke my PSP that not because I was angry with it or anything like that. randomly. That I'd get another one, and it never happened. And so have Vita kind of sneak up and be like, hey, don't you want me instead?
Yeah.
It's tempting, but again, slips straight on my head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like so many sheep.
Yeah, it definitely seems like they're pushing to try to get you to think about the Vita more. I mean, you know, they're coming out with more and more software and stuff for it, and just...
Well, and it's funny, too, because it's one of those things where it feels like they they have to kind of bludgeon people with, like, hey, remember, we made something really, really neat.
Yeah. Yeah, it is quite impressive technology.
To
yeah.
It?
Yeah. It just comes down to the argument of, like, well, I just spent $500 on an iPad, or I
right.
can get this. And, you know, it's like,
yeah.
it's competing with all these other cool things as well. So,
yeah, I think
know.
That is, like, the big choice that people are making. It's like, do I get the new Kindle, the new Vita, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's coming down to, like, well, what can I use with what the most? You know,
yeah.
like, so the fact that they're seem to try to push the Vita now with multiple things
mm-hmm.
is like the best way to go to get people to like consider it as an
mm-hmm.
option, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's not just for like doing this one game or that kind of thing. You can do these other stuff too. So
mm-hmm.
it's worth considering at least, but you know, again, it's going to come down to what you want to use with what, and the
yeah.
iPad is always going to be pretty high on people's
yeah.
lists for,
it's a contender.
For stuff they want.
Yeah, the idea of mobile gaming and mobile utility has really pushed a lot of these companies to try and figure out new ways to make their stuff useful in unique ways.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're, since they're finally making some really beautiful, like, full-featured, like, almost next-gen games on iPads and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's becoming a bigger question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why the 3DS is not selling as well as it could have, the DS did, is because, you know, your smartphone and the iPad and the iPod Touch are relatively inexpensive or around the same price, and they are almost as good, if not better, for some games.
Yeah. And, you know, not everyone really wants 3D, so you know it's like
yeah.
mm-hmm.
okay, is that really going to be a big selling point when you know
mm-hmm.
blah blah blah. But enough of Nintendo, back to Sony.
Yes, sorry.
That's all right. Let's see.
Yeah, stop it. What?
We know you want to throw Nintendo back into it. As far as, let's see, they threw out another bundle for the PS3, Assassin's Creed 3 bundle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Now, as far as moving on to games, they showed off some pretty interesting games. And then, let's see. Do I want to get to the games or the one piece of other? I'll ask you. They introduced another new form of technology,
uh-huh.
which I can talk about, or I can talk about the games first.
I say tech, and
the
then
tech.
From the games we'll
okay.
transition to third parties.
We'll get that out of the way. Yeah. Okay. This is definitely.
I think I know what you're going to talk about.
Yes. The Wonder Book.
Ooh.
Now, this is definitely.
Wait, is that from Inspector Gadget?
No.
No.
No. It's
no.
Not, it's,
okay.
It's not like that at all.
I definitely, like, watching it, had to step back a little bit and be like, okay, this is not marketed towards me,
mm-hmm.
so I got to take my mindset out of that.
Okay.
But all right, for those of you who don't know what this piece of technology is.
Lay it on me.
Okay, it's called the Wonder Book. Now.
Wonder Book.
It's, I have a feeling that the actual piece of hardware is going to be changed, but for
mm-hmm.
now, it looks sort of like if you take like a hardbound book,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
open it up and like, but remove all the pages. So it's just kind of like the hardbound, like
okay.
the case kind of.
Okay.
And what it has then is it like, it'll project like books on it. Like they're like game books. What they pushed was like, and what you'd use is in combination is the PlayStation Move and as well the PlayStation Eye.
Okay.
And what they really pushed with it was they got J.K. Rowling to create a book called The Book of Spells.
Okay.
And it's like a brand new sort of, it's not like a Harry Potter story,
uh-huh.
but it's set in that world.
Okay.
And like the thing they talked about and showed off and unfortunately had some issues when they were demoing it
okay.
Was that the idea is you're like a student going to the school and learning how to cast these spells and doing things at Hogwarts and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And while you do that stuff, you unlock these short stories in that world about like other students that the series never really touched on or that sort of thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the idea, it seems like, around the whole thing is to sort of create like interactive books.
Okay.
Like they would tell stories and then also have like visuals and allow you to like interact with those stories.
Okay.
I mean, it was a little weird in their demonstration because they talked about like, what if a book could take you to another world? That's what a book does.
That's,
like,
yeah, that's, you know, like kind of the nature of the beast.
Yeah. For, you know, they get on all these other examples of just like, oh, what if you could be in the book and do these things? It's like, well, that's kind of what you do when you project with your imagination, go in. But okay, I see where you're going, like what you're trying to shoot for. And so, mm-hmm. you know, they showed like this, the Wonder Book tablet thingy, but it's not really a tablet thing. It's not a screen or anything like that that you touch. It's just uh-huh. like you hold it up sort of to the PlayStation Eye, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
And then they used, like with that Book of Spells, they used the move controller like as a wand, and they'd have you like cast spells by swooshing the wand a certain way, and then it would project like the image sort of like on the book and on the TV, and then it would like do things. It's really hard to explain. It's like I'm confused when I heard about it. Definitely just go, you know, type in Wonder Book. I'm sure a lot of the posts and things are going to be like jokey, like this is mm-hmm. garbage, blah 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 blah. Uh-huh. But find like the real demonstration thing and see what I'm talking about, because it's
right.
when I was watching and I was like, oh man, this is going to be difficult to explain because it's very visual.
So visual.
I think I understand.
Yeah,
I'm
mean,
still in awe that this was their idea.
Yeah, I mean, at first, what I thought it was going to be was like you placed something on this Wonder Book
uh-huh.
and then like
right.
interacted that way. But instead, it's like I said, it's like the hardbound part of a book without any of the pages is like what the software or whatever projects on, and then you're using like the move controller for doing things. I mean, they just had this Book of Spells to push first, since it's uh-huh. kind of a big deal. I mean, J.K. Rowling,
yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing to have backing it.
And it's a good demo of what they're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people were freaking out on Twitter about it.
And yeah.
I had no idea what it was. Now I know.
Yeah,
it's definitely not for like the hardcore gamer set. Not saying that you couldn't do it and maybe you'd enjoy it, but it's definitely pushing towards like little kids, a family, that sort of thing. Just trying to make like stories, quote unquote, come to, I mean,
right.
Like, I guess when I tried to step back and sort of going back to think about like, well, that's kind of what a book does. It takes you to a whole new world.
Uh-huh.
I guess another way to sort of look at it is like, if you step back and think about kids today, especially even like little kids, they've grown up with an iPad in their hand, a smartphone in their hand.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. they're grown up with this technology already.
Right.
It's almost like you give them just a plain old book. I mean, I think there's been videos or different things where they've like tried to like zoom in on a regular book or like turn the page like a touch screen, but mm-hmm. just with a regular book. And they're like, this is dumb. It's not doing anything. Like they're uh-huh. just so used now.
Right.
I think they even had like a gorilla using an iPad
mm-hmm.
and was like able to figure things out and just use, you know, the touch screen and all that uh-huh. stuff. Easy. So
I've seen like a video of kids like walking up to the TV and like trying to like yeah. move something like, and like getting frustrated because like it's not doing the Netflix thing or whatever, you know, they can't get to their shows.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where it sort of makes us sound old, or maybe other people out there as well, but yeah, just thinking about how much technology like little kids have access to now.
Right.
And just like
mm-hmm.
okay, yeah, it does make a little more sense that this would appeal to them, because it's like they're already growing up with all this like interactive touch right. things and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and it's the exact same stuff that our parents were going through. Like kids are growing up with computers now. They know everything and they're not afraid of technology.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
The internet, what is this thing?
Yeah. So, you know, it's, I'm assuming it's going to interact with the move and the eye for, I don't know, all things, but it seemed like most things.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to, like, push, or at least with that book of spells, they were using it with those things. So I can't say for certain that, like, every Wonder Book is going to, like, you have to have the move or the eye with it, but
mm-hmm.
I would imagine it would at least require the eye, it seems like, because it's probably going to need that to read.
Yeah, you gotta need the eye, or else how does it know that it's there?
Yeah, so, and they didn't mention a price point as far as I can remember. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty still in the, like, development stages. Like,
yeah,
I would not be surprised if when we see it again, it's redesigned completely,
okay.
You know, decent. Differently. Because mm-hmm. this is, like, it's got to look somewhat interesting, even if it is just, like, the hard bound part yeah. of the book. Mm-hmm. Like, it literally just looked like the pieces of plastic.
Thing. Right.
Like, really, that's what you're going to try to sell? It's got to at least look a little shiny or something neat. So right.
Yeah, it's like, even like the, not to go back, but like talking about introducing new things, the game pad, it got redesigned. It still looks more or less the same, but like you can tell that
yeah.
they went back to their industrial designers and said, okay, we've
the,
got this.
The Wii U,
the Wii U game pad, like, you know, it now looks more like a finished product as opposed to, this is our cool new idea. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I felt bad because they had like one main guy like reading off the stuff and talking about it, and then they had two people like demoing it
uh-huh.
and they were having a hard time getting one of the spells to like react, like get it to, they were supposed to try to like open up a locked door or something.
Okay.
They couldn't get that door to unlock.
Oh no.
So like for a while she was like desperately trying to do it, the spell the right
doing
way.
Doing it worse and worse every time.
Yeah, and then when it finally worked, everyone's like, yeah, all right. You know? And I think the guy even sort of mentions like, well, it's a live demo, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's, you gotta take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the Wonder Book. I mean, who knows if they might even change the name by the time it actually comes out, but.
Mm-hmm. Would not hurt them, I think, to do that.
But who knows? I mean, it. They are focusing on books, and it has books in the name, so
yeah, it's true.
There
it
you
does
go.
Fit. Okay,
we've adapted to weirder names like the Wii.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we haven't. I still make jokes
about the Wii.
Yeah,
just
the name.
We haven't.
I believe at this point the Wii has earned its place in my respect, but
there you go.
All right, well, that was all about the Wonder Book. Now, before I move on to some of the titles they showed off, let me read off this little PSA,
mm-hmm.
then I'll get back to the Sony stuff.
Read it quick.
Ticket giveaways. Do you want free tickets to a concert? KSCU has got you covered. Just listen in and you could win. To see what shows we're giving away tickets for, go to kscu.org and click on promotions.
There you go.
That's pretty bad.
We need the Micro Machines guy to
yeah,
do like one of these.
Like, whoa. I don't know if they got any of that, but
right. Either him or Busta Rhymes.
Well,
yeah,
as long as we can get
one of the two.
Busta Rhymes not to swear. As long as he doesn't swear. Because, you know,
well, it would be pre recorded, so I think that could help. Well,
that's true. Yeah, we probably couldn't get him to come every Thursday in the studio just to read the PSAs for us.
I mean, it would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Okay, let's see. One of the big ones that they showed off, I think they even started the press conference off with it, was a game called Beyond Two Souls. This game is stars Ellen Page, and
okay.
it's from the creators of Heavy Rain.
Yeah,
this is their next big game, and they're focusing again, like they did with Heavy Rain, on the facial capturing and then, you know, showing off the facial motions and everything, like trying to make it look
uh-huh.
you know, as real as possible, and it is pretty impressive. I mean, I think it's definitely
just got
better.
Real.
Yeah. Okay. Real beyond.
Beyond it, real.
Yeah, definitely improvements over Heavy Rain as far as the looks go. They showed like just a trailer for it with a scene of like Ellen Page's character in a sheriff's office. And
Totally not where I thought you were going with that.
I think she has like sort of a shaved head and the guy's like trying to talk to her, like get information from her, but she's not talking back. And then these like SWAT guys show up to get her. And then she like...
Things go down.
Yeah. Crazy like telekinesis things go down and all that sort of stuff. And then it cuts to like more action sequences in the town of things blowing up. And it sort of looks like one of the shots in the scene looks like her being able to go like... inside someone, because they showed like one of the SWAT officers like standing behind this thing, and then all of a sudden like some sort of being or something like getting close to it in a close up, and then like going inside like shaking and his eyes rolling in the back of his head. It just sort of looked like kind of a classic game like possession of a character type of thing. But
yeah,
I have no idea. Like, you know, they didn't really like go into
details.
Know, yeah, it wasn't a like a guy actually playing it. It was just, I mean, it was all supposedly like all in-game footage, in-game engine, engine, but it wasn't like someone on the stage like controlling any of the stuff. So, you know, it was just montage of action stuff at the end.
Okay,
but
I need a montage.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean. Heavy Rain was pretty cool. It had some neat things about it. Some of the voice acting wasn't terribly great. So hopefully they've gotten better with this. I mean, from the scenes, I mean, getting like Ellen Page is definitely a bonus. I mean, she's good. So
there's at least one good voice actor in there.
I imagine since they're going that route, they're going to try to have like a pretty decent script. So
one should hope so.
Yeah. So yeah, look forward to that. That's going to be a Sony exclusive. Definitely not this year. I can't remember if it said. I would imagine next year.
Most of the stuff, it's like a CES. It's all in the next year or so.
Yeah. I mean, some of the things they mentioned, like the Assassin's Creed and the...
Right.
I think like the Battle Royale and that stuff is coming this year, like towards the end of this year and that sort of thing. But yeah, that was one of their major things. And then they showed... the next God of War game, God of War Ascension. This one, they actually had like a guy on there playing through it.
That's cool.
If you're a fan of God of War, it's more God of War. It looks pretty. I mean, I enjoyed the first one, but I never ended up playing like the second or third one.
Right.
And it was just so, like, watching this was like, it's neat, but it got a little boring after a little while.
It's still God of War.
I've heard story-wise what you did is the smart choice anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like, I mean, there were some neat like animations or things that Kratos did while like killing people and doing, you know, the things that Kratos does. But yeah, I mean, as far as, I'm not really sure actually. The other thing is, I think it's sort of a prequel. Like, I can't remember where exactly it fits in on the timeline. I don't think it's after 3, but I could be wrong. But I thought I'd heard something about like, oh yes, this takes place before 1 or maybe in between, or I'm not familiar enough with the God of War franchise. I mean, I probably should have looked it up since I'm doing the Sony press conference, so I apologize, but I do know it is coming out March of next year. There you go with that.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah. They did demo Far Cry 3. I know that is a third-party thing, but the main reason why I mention it is apparently PlayStation is getting like the first set of DLC for free.
Oh, wow.
PlayStation. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's why I bring it up with that. That's, you know, if you have a PS3, that's what you game on.
Got something to look forward to.
Yeah. They demoed a 4-player co-op. They made it sound like what they did was they were like, oh, the Far Cry 3 has this huge open world single-player campaign.
Right.
But we didn't just build one game. We built two. And like we built a 4-player co-op game. And so they make it sound like it's another game that's a 4-player co-op. So
could be interesting.
Okay,
so that's cool. I mean, if they spent a big chunk of time on it, it was it was kind of neat. Like, they had four people on there, and it was, they were doing, like, some, they had to blow up some bridge.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And so they were, like, you know, being attacked, and they had, you know, one person, like, running through and picking up, like, the these boxes
mm-hmm.
I assume had the explosives in them.
Right.
And was, like, trying to run back and plant them on the bridge, and then they'd have, like, waves of certain guys come and this and that. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. typical, like, co-op stuff, so nothing
right.
terribly new, but mostly just the setting made it a little interesting because it's,
right.
if you're not familiar with Far Cry 3, it takes place on this island, mm-hmm. and so it uses a lot of those, like, jungle themes, and, like, the clothing is, you know, you're not dressed in, like, military garb.
Okay.
So it's kind of a neat little change of pace as far as, like, visually,
right.
you know, you're fighting more just, like, random militia, like, jungle, like, mm-hmm. You know, pirate, Somali pirate kind of
okay.
right.
looking guys in mm-hmm. a sense.
And so they're kind of going back to their roots with the Far Cry then.
It seems yeah. like it, yeah. They're definitely keeping it on one island and having it be this open world kind of thing. That's
kind of smart.
Yeah. So it should be interesting. And then let me just make sure I didn't miss anything before I mention the very last thing that they ended the show with, which was a Sony exclusive. The next Naughty Dog game.
Oh, yeah.
The Last
yeah.
of Us. They showed it. It's interesting. When they first showed off that game, the I can't remember the girl's name because it's like a guy and a girl. I can't uh-huh. remember if it's Ellie or not, but
I think.
I can't remember. But anyway, her first, the way she looked, she uh-huh. looked like Ellen Page. Like, everyone
right.
thought, oh, they put Ellen Page in this uh-huh. game. They've redesigned her.
Yeah.
So, and I think they did that because Ellen Page is in Beyond Two Souls.
yeah.
yeah. They might be like, yeah, we're using that actress. You can't have her.
So yeah. So they showed off, they had a guy playing it, and they had him going through a level. If you're not familiar with The Last of Us, I don't know a whole lot about the game, but I know it seems to be sort of a, it's like an end of the world
kind of
game, but instead of yeah, but instead of like a nuclear bomb that went off and killed everybody, it was some kind of weird sort of virus thing. But they also hint at the way they've sort of been kind of virally mm-hmm. promoting this game is the very first sort of image and thing they talked about was this image from a clip from, oh, I don't know if it was Blue Planet or one of the like BBC nature,
right.
crazy nature okay. things they uh-huh. did. They show this image of, I think it was an ant or something that had been infected by this disease that like really jacked up its brain and like made it all like honeycomb-ish looking or something like on its
yeah,
head.
Yeah, it's a parasite that
yeah,
does
yeah.
and it infects their brain, yeah.
That's sort of what they're hinting at, that like that's what might have caused the thing that mm. went on. Because they've shown some of the creature, quote-unquote, things that mm-hmm. you fight, and they seem to have that similar effect.
Mm.
So in this demo, they showed off fighting just some other survivors that you come across. Like it had the main guy and the chick going through this city that had been like kind of taken over by nature essentially
mm-hmm.
and, you know, water and all this stuff. And they're going through this hotel and then they come across some other scavengers that are looting this hotel.
Right.
And, yeah, it was pretty slick. Like they seem to be pushing the whole thing of like, you know, scavenging to find
mm-hmm.
stuff, like, you know,
uh-huh.
bullets aren't going to be everywhere type
right.
of stuff. And, they had really good, I mean, you can see from like the Uncharted games and stuff with this, like they just had really good animations or interactions with like the people, the other scavengers that
mm-hmm.
you'd come across.
Okay.
Like they had, you heard them in the background and then the guy was like, you know, like, oh crap. And then you'd hear them talking about like, yeah, we need to, you know, oh, let's check this out and blah, blah, blah. And then when you got in there and you finally like, the guy went up to one and took one down, like kind of a silent takedown.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy was like still like trying to struggle and he was like reaching back to try to poke you in the
uh-huh.
face and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked really neat. And when he finally takes him down and he's searching through and he pulls out, the guy had like a revolver and a couple a couple bullets in it. And while he's doing that, he's kind of making the noise of, you know, the chamber and everything in a cylinder. The guy that was in front, like, heard him doing that. And was like, oh, crap, you know, blah, blah. I mean, I don't, those weren't the exact lines of dialogue. Right. Paraphrasing sort of here. Because I can't remember them exactly. But he's like, oh, crap, someone here. And, you know, and he starts shooting. And the gunshot noise alerts other people in some of the other rooms. And so it turns in kind of a neat fight of, if you imagine you're in a level of a hotel room and like the doors are pretty much gone or, you know, and like some decent little wide hallways, but instead of it just being sort of like a straight corridor fight, you're running through like the different rooms in the hotel and you're using like the doors and the sides and the corners and the closets and stuff as like cover. So it just was like a really neat take on being able to flank people
and use not the just, environment against them.
Yeah, and not just be like, you run up to this open environment and you see like some stuff that's clearly cover. Okay, there's probably going to be a fight here or something. These are the things I'm going to use as cover.
Yeah,
right. You know, and so yeah, that was really neat. Like, you know, when he ran out of ammo, one of the guys was like, he started firing, and then, you know, it was like click, 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 and then one of the guys was like, I know that sound. And he starts walking out like with his gun. And then the girl, she picked up a brick while she was on there. She's all, hey, beep, because I can't swear. She's more, and she threw the brick at the guy in the face and like distracted him. And he's like, oh, and then you're, you know, the main guy ran up and took him down.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really cool. Like the crowd was all like, yeah. but yeah, it I'm definitely like, you know, I'm going to check that game out. It looks pretty slick. So
yeah, the Naughty Dog team makes good games. Just no question about that. They've made good games for a very long time now.
Yeah, they definitely you know, were pretty smart, like kind of closing off their press conference with that one. Like everyone was like, all right, yeah. You know,
that's a good finisher.
So yeah, that was the Sony press conference one.
Okay.
I think they mentioned some other stuff, but you know, I mean, that's kind of in a nutshell. Like I mentioned before, we can't hit everything.
Yeah,
just so
each of these conferences was over an hour and a half each.
Yeah,
so this is the condensed version.
Yeah, and yeah, you can go back and watch all of them on like IGN Game Trailers on the relative systems. They have their press conferences to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them even run YouTube, so it's like, you know,
YouTube. Yeah.
If you really want to know everything that happened, you can endure the CEO's talking about it.
Yeah,
you can check it out.
You can skip through some of the stuff, like you know, unless you're a big fan of Usher, you could skip through that part in the Microsoft one.
Yeah,
I require you to skip through that part.
The PlayStation One, I mean, unless you're really interested in Wonder Book, you could skip that whole chunk, and you'll know when that part comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah.
The
Nintendo, like,
check out the find a nice review of it online in text. It's better that way.
Yeah, just look up the titles you're interested in hitting, and then
check out if you find a video of Pikmin, check that one out. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so those have been top three. Let me read another quick little PSA, and then we'll close out the show with third party stuff that we enjoyed.
Yes.
Okay. Let me see what magical one I already told you about, health fraud. Let's see something that's relatively small. How about prevent infant abandonment? In California, a parent or person with lawful custody of an infant can safely and confidentially surrender the baby within 3 days of birth. The baby must be taken to a public or private hospital, designated fire station, or other safe surrender site. More information is available at www.babysafe.com. ca.gov. I know that doesn't really fit our video game talk, but you know, it's important information anyway.
You should know this. It's good to know. All right, so third party stuff. Do we want to pick one?
Tomb Raider.
Yes.
Okay, it's a good place to start.
Yeah. That was in the Microsoft one.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
I have not been this excited about this Tomb Raider movie game for...
it looks like a movie.
I almost said movie because it's like an interactive movie for quite some time now. Like, Yeah, I mean, it did not. Lara Croft did not transfer off the PS1 very well.
Yeah, I cannot wait to control that chick. Yes.
The use of the environment and the one of the things I thought was interesting is like while Lara Croft in this game is doing lots of cool things, she isn't necessarily an action hero character per se.
It's a nice change. Origin of the Croft that we know.
The animations that they have for her definitely represent that she's not this like, you know, super
right.
Let's go adventuring kind
yeah.
of. Yeah,
she's not that person yet. You know, right. It's like, I mean, she definitely sort of grunts and moans quite a bit. And man, they love to beat the hell out of her in that game. I mean, man, she takes a beating.
One of the new Penny Arcade comics was pretty spot on. It was them recording all of the voice stuff for Lara Croft, and it was a guy in the booth, or the guy telling the woman in the booth, okay, well, we're going to do some just normal pickup sounds, so we're going to need you to start with you being eaten by a bear, and goes through all these horrible things, and concluding with, oh, and then you fall 30 feet and end up with a sharp, pointy thing through your rib cage.
Yeah.
Yes. And then it just cuts to the girl just, like, staring, like...
At the screen. Like, kind of just kind of looking stunned at the microphone. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
A bear is eating you. Go. Your face is completely on fire. Yeah, you're falling from a tree, hitting every branch until you land on a jagged rusted pipe that pierces your sternum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal, and it, in the wrong hands, it could be a very evil game. But
yeah.
But as far as forging this sort of character, it makes complete and total sense, and it looks like it's going to be really interesting seeing that sort of thing.
Yeah, I love to do the... when you were taking cover from the guy with the machine gun, and as your cover just crumbling and getting all destroyed, that just looks so sweet.
Yeah,
it's like, whoa, yeah, that would make sense that the thing she's hiding behind
is made of wood and made of bullets.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, you know, she probably would die, but it is really cool that they are actually deteriorating it and, you know, forcing you to move and jump and roll and all that stuff.
Be strategic about your environment. It's like, it's not just, here's your invulnerable wooden box with the RPGs that won't penetrate it.
Yeah. Ka-tsh,
boom. Ha ha! I'm behind this wooden crate. You can't heal me.
Yeah. And it was cool just seeing like how fluid, like running through the level and like jumping up. Like, I think there was a part, I don't know if it was on a bridge or something, where, you know, she's going down, like running through one spot and then like goes up above it, and there's like holes in between where guys are, and just like shooting the lamps, or like when she comes across that group of like the guys, like, stop that plug, that stuff's worth money, or, you know, that stuff's gold, and you know, he's trying to plug in the gas or whatever it is, and then she just fires it and like lights them all up on there, and it just whenever games can pull off like animation art direction that's just real slick and real realistic, I love that. It's just that's just so cool. It makes it so real.
And it's funny actually jumping from where we were to this, because it totally reminds me of a Naughty Dog game, and that's why it kind of throws me off too. It seems like it's one of those games that Sony would have put out the edict a long time ago. You know what, Naughty Dog? We own you.
Yeah,
you're doing Tomb Raider.
Yeah, it's a wonder that they didn't make them have them do it sooner.
Yeah.
Or something like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if you look back at sort of, you know, back in the heyday of like, oh, Mario Brothers and Zelda, you know, spawned all these other games. I think if, you know, go back and look at like Gears of War and Uncharted, like they're going to be sort of the grandfathers for things that will come. Because if you just look at like, you know, the cover systems they've, even if they didn't create them, just the way they
perfected or twisted them.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the use of the cover system more or less brought Mass Effect 3 to where it is.
Yeah.
You know?
You love to keep bringing that Mass Effect 3 up, don't you?
I love that game.
Why? It stinks. Whatever. It's not as good as Lollipop Barbie Land Adventures.
I thought you were going to go Lollipop Chainsaw. But
I'm looking forward to that one. I want to try that one out. That's coming out next week.
Oh.
I'm going to check that one out.
I'm going to rent that one.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway.
I might Redbox it.
There you go.
But yes, Tomb Raider. I'm glad for a while it was like nothing new was coming out about it. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh no, did this get shelved or canceled?
Yeah.
And then it was nice to hear like, no, it's coming out next year. I think they gave a release date. It's sometime next year, I believe.
Mm.
But yeah, it's nice that, okay, good. That game didn't die.
Yeah.
When, you know. You hear about all these companies going under, or firing all these people. Like, yeah. No, did that get killed too? Like,
right.
Nope. It's still there.
It's still coming.
I am gonna shoot another thing out there. Battlefield 3 Premium.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
March 5th for Tomb Raider. Sorry.
Okay.
Battlefield 3 Premium. Moving on. Yes.
Yeah. Well, what was it like? You $50. Right?
Yeah. It's $50. From what I can tell, they kind of handled it a different way than the Call of Duty Elite has, in that they aren't trying to sell like a yearly thing. It's just base, like, okay, you get everything, $50 type of thing.
Huh. And
yeah. It.
Yeah, because I think it mentions like 5 DLC packs,
right,
or something.
Including the one that's already out, the Kirkland.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, tons of new weapons, supposedly, new vehicles that'll be exclusive to you, special modifications to weapons as far as new camos and whatnot. And it's funny because I'd actually long ago written off Battlefield 3 as like, okay, they've just kind of let it go. They just...
Yeah, it did feel like that for a while.
Right, but it's nice to know that they're actually working on stuff behind the scenes. I mean, I'd heard that they'd planned at least the next 2 DLCs.
Yeah.
But I hadn't heard a lot about them in a long time. And so having like a big coherent thing of, okay, we're promising you another 4 DLCs, that's cool by me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you'll get sort of a similar thing with Elite, like you'll get early access to
right.
it. And I think
exactly
with if you do it on Sony, you get even earlier access. Like, I don't think it's as much as like the difference between
right
the Call of Duty one on there, but you know,
which I thought was interesting too, because Microsoft was able to renew its thing with Call of Duty, where they're gonna get early release on all the Call of Duty stuff.
Yeah.
For Black Ops 2, so.
Yeah.
Which the preview for that looked pretty hot, too.
Yeah.
Now, see, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know, do we want to move on from Battlefield 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, since that one was shown, I think that was the last one shown at the Microsoft
press. Yes, that was the end of the Microsoft press.
It's funny, like, I'm totally pumped and excited for that game.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was, like, a bad demo to show. Mm. There was a lot of, like... I mean, if you think about a lot of the criticism that Call of Duty is getting, is like people are sort of getting tired of like, oh, it's the same thing. It's
right.
You know, it's nothing really terribly new. And while Black Ops 2 is like a totally new setting,
right.
And you know, mm-hmm. it is introducing a lot of cool, neat little things. You watch this demo;
it doesn't
really
look like it.
Yeah, it really is just like, here's a portion of the single player that we've shown every year from all the other Call of Duty games. Mm. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was cool seeing you get into the, what was that jet called? But basically the end of it, getting into mm-hmm. the jet and actually
right.
like flying it and taking on other drones and stuff. So it was mm-hmm. like kind of a, hey, we're a little bit like Battlefield 3. Like, we're going to have vehicles and
uh-huh.
stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's neat, but it's like, if you want to like wow people again with Call of Duty, it's like they should have. I mean, I don't know how much they have done of it already, but like I totally would have been like, you know what? Let's show off the zombie mode, the new zombie mode.
Yeah.
Let's mm-hmm. show off some cool like co-op thing or multiplayer thing. Like,
yeah.
I know they always hold off for the multiplayer like towards the end, but if you got to get people excited again. unfortunately, yeah, for Call of Duty.
The stuff that they did release about the zombie mode I thought was pretty interesting because it sounds like with the last zombie mode, they kind of did their last hurrah as like this really massive level.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it sounds like they're doing that right off the bat with this one, basically having an entire like old style downtown that the entire thing is your playground. So
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just me. It's like I watched it and thought like, you know, oh, it's cool. I'm definitely looking forward to Black Ops 2. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to play it. But
yeah,
a lot of people, like, that's the negative. It's like,
yeah,
it looks like Call of Duty.
It's funny. I hadn't really thought about it that way because I actually had a coworker say, oh, yeah, I saw the Black Ops 2. It just looks like every other game. I was thinking about every other thing, like the drones and all of, and horses, for goodness sake.
Yeah, because, I mean, they showed off, in one section, they showed you using those little helicopter drone things. And, I mean, and that's, it's cool, but it's just, since there wasn't anyone, like, it wasn't the guy talking and explaining, like, all the cool, neat
stuff. I think that was the things, like, there was no context. It's like, here's this thing. Oh, cool. What is that? Am I controlling that? Why is there a blue grid on the floor all of a sudden? What does that mean? Where do they come from? Where do I get more of them?
See, to me, if they would have been smart, they would have made a deal with the guy who does all of the crazy machine gun things, the Russian first-person guy.
Yeah.
Because he got his hands on one of those and got to use its self-destruct sequence on a random car.
Yeah.
And that was pretty impressive, seeing that this is a real thing. And then having this game have, like, fleets of these things, it would really bring it home to show, like, a real person with the real thing and then say, and we have it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you look at Treyarch, for a lot of people, like, they're diehard Infinity Ward, and, you mm-hmm. know, they see the Treyarch ones as, eh. But, I mean, arguably, they created, like, the best Call of Duty game. I mean, you know, the first, you got to give props to the first Modern Warfare, because it did start all this stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's going to be tacked on with the Gears and the Uncharted, as far as, you know, revolutionized the shooting genre.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, you know, after revolutionizing it, I mean, Black Ops, I mean, until, you know, Modern Warfare 3 came out, you know, it was like the biggest selling game ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's an impressive game. And so
there's
a lot riding on Black Ops 2, like keeping the momentum of Call of Duty going.
Right.
And just this demo was just like, they were just banking on were Call of Duty, and it was just like, guys, you're okay, yes, you're gonna sell a lot of copies of this game, but
this is not,
man, no one's gonna talk about this game at E3. I mean, you know, it's like,
no,
everyone's gonna be talking about Watch Dogs, or I don't know if you guys checked out that one, but or like The Last of Us, or, you know, these other mm-hmm. big mm-hmm. ones. It's like
games where they actually like pushed the genre a bit, like post-apocalyptic, but it's not just demons and atomic mutants, you know.
It's fine that, like, you know, Black Ops 2, it's a different, like, setting. It's a little bit further mm-hmm. in the future, and it's like mm-hmm. it's like, if you took the time, researched all the stuff that they've brought out about Black Ops 2,
right,
you'd be pumped for it.
It looks really cool for that part. Yeah,
but if that was all you saw, you'd be like,
and
I think I'm probably just gonna not, I might rent it, maybe. You know, it's like
it was
depressing. I was just kind of like, oh, that was cool, but man, you guys, I hope you have something better soon to wow people again. Because
it's a cool demo, but it feels like a lot of other single player Call of Duty games at that point. I liked it. To me, the coolest thing was the new sniper rifle with the
radar technology, like
mm-hmm.
being able to
with an actual scanning scope. You're like, oh yeah, I can see into that truck. I need a little more to the left. There he is.
And then if you charge up the shot, it'll shoot through
mm-hmm.
more fortified things. And it's like,
yeah.
And it's cool. Like I said, if you take the time and research some of the things that they've mentioned while they're looking at existing technology and actually like using it in the game, just in a more compact thing, like looking at like, okay, they have these scanners at airports that can scan through and see through things. All right, let's take that technology, like all other technology, get smaller, more compact.
Right.
Set it, you know, it's a little bit into the future.
What's it like?
Yeah. Here's a plausible, you know, idea of how it could be used. And then
just a hop, skip, and jump.
Yeah. So.
Yep. One DeLorean right away.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's Call of Duty.
It'll sell.
Yeah. I'll buy it, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if did you guys see the I think it's Watch Dogs. That's like the big buzz.
I'll have to go check that one out.
No.
Yeah, it's the demo they showed. Like, it's weird. It was this like, it seemed like sort of an open world thing, and it was a guy walking around the city, and he had it almost sort of looked like a little garage door opener or something, but it was like this device that could hack into like literally everything. Okay. And it seemed like it was set in a setting, you know, a future where we've connected more and more to everything, you know, like all of our, you know, our information is connected to this. We have, you know, this and that on us to do this and those and all these things. And so,
yeah, I have a beeper.
Yeah.
So I'm connected.
So you could go in and like hack people's sort of information to find out like, oh, what they've done or what they did for like finding information out or using those people to do X or Y.
Okay.
And then they had a... The sort of the big action sequence was after you were trying to find this guy and then you ran out of the club that you went into, he used this device to change the, cause the guy you were after like was escaping or something like that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, or was showing up. I can't remember it exactly, too much video game stuff in my head, yeah. But anyway, he used the device to change the signals on the streetlights so that they all like turned red or green, so you know everyone in and crashed, so you could cause, you know, you could box in the person to with, you know, all the cars in the traffic, and everyone crashed in and it looked really sweet. And then, you know, these guys popped out with machine guns and you got into cover behind the cars and you could you know, you were shooting, and like one, it was kind of messed up actually, but while causing all that stuff, you know, there's like innocent people in their car, and like one of them gets shot and like, you know, is dead on the steering wheel, you know, the glass is all shot out, and it looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy like in the car like, oh, wake up, blah, blah, blah. And then like you can like interact with the door and like open it, and like you can rescue the person, and like he like pulled them out of the car to so that person doesn't get shot in the random gunfire. But it seemed like the biggest thing was that everything, because it's taking place in more of a future setting and everything is, for lack of a better term, like online, and you have this power to hack into everything, and since everything is online, you can use that to your advantage to like manipulate the world. And they had...
So it's sort of like a superpower in a weird sort of way.
Yeah, in a sense. And then they had this thing of like the very end of it was... that after that main guy was going off, they had another guy like up on a building that then got some orders to like go and protect him or something like that. And then it like spread out even further and there were like other players. So I don't know if they were trying to push this whole thing of like this organization that you're working for, like you all do that. And so like you can all, you know, interact together by doing all these hackings and different things. Like it was a little weird because it was sort of like we're turning like an identity thief into a hero, kind of in a sense, because when you hacked into people's information or looked at their stuff, like they talked about like, oh, this person owes like X amount of monies in loans, like this person has this, like all this, you know, tidbits of information that you could possibly use.
Mm-hmm.
And then they even had like things of like, I think like violence probability, like percentage. So if people were sort of the like new version of the, you know, like the explanation point on there or something like, oh crap, I think that guy noticed me.
Now it's solid,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, now it's like, oh, violence percentage, you know, perception percentage, you know, and it's like, 50%, 67, 80, you know, like, okay, this guy's coming after me or this guy's going to do something mm-hmm. to me. Whereas, you know, others like 10% or something. So
it's almost like the in Assassin's Creed, the witness.
Yeah, a little bit. It's Ubisoft.
Oh, okay.
It's like it from all the little things that I talked about, it was like the big buzz of E3.
Hmm.
So definitely like check it out. I'm probably going to go back and look at more stuff on it. I just saw like that brief little sort of demonstration of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they have like interviews and that sort of thing, but I mentioned it mainly because it was like the talk of E3. Like it was one of the big ones.
Ubisoft has a habit of pushing the boundaries pretty far.
Yeah.
Whether they're ready to or not a lot of the times,
yeah.
But still they get people talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to give them credit. They've made some really interesting like choices in terms of what they do with their games that a lot of other companies just don't even go near.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, speaking sort of that, they showed off in Assassin's Creed 3, they showed off the naval combat in the game. And they showed you like actually aboard a ship and like controlling the ship and telling the guys where to fire the cannons and like moving it through. And it looked really pretty. Like it was in the Caribbean Sea.
Okay.
Like where the level was taking place. And so you were, you know, going through and I don't know any of the shipping naval terms or anything like that. So,
but you were doing cool stuff, making the ship do like actual ship
maneuvers.
It looked
pretty neat. Like they'd fire, you know, they'd fire cannons and stuff and it would rip up the other ships and things. And they'd mm-hmm. fire the different kinds like chain shots and you know, different effects, and you'd hear the crew like, you know, oh, Captain, do this, oh, the port, or, you know, all these.
Hard to port, hard to port.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And they'd show, like, the actual parts on the boat, like, move, open, and close. Like,
uh-huh.
I don't know the names of, but, you know, like, on the sides, boat, like, the mm-hmm. sails, they'll have the, like, extra, I mean, this is gonna sound so bad, but, like, the extra pieces of wood that, like, you know, go out and have, like, uh-huh. connected sail parts like
the I think they call those the boom.
Okay, yeah, I don't know, but yeah, they'd showed them like actually, you know, interacting with how you move mm-hmm. the ship and all that stuff. So
neat.
I made myself sound like a complete moron, but you know.
Yeah, when you haven't read all the Master and Commander books, it's harder to keep up with what actually is going on.
Yeah,
it would be interesting to see if they manage to make a game that actually makes people able to get onto a boat and sail it.
Yeah.
Or at least not when someone says hard to go get on the port side, they won't like go to the wrong end.
Right, to the place where all the alcohol is stored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it looks like they took it doesn't look super complicated, like they're not having you like, you know, push this button to do this or this, you know, like, I think they tried to keep it as simplified as possible.
Right.
While still looking like it will be fun,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that was, I know, something they showed off for that game. And I wanted to watch, I guess they showed off some more stuff for Borderlands 2, but I wasn't able to watch anything.
I haven't seen anything for that either, but I hear good things.
Yeah.
Everyone that's like touched, it's like, yes, Borderlands.
Mostly I was jealous that I wasn't there because they had like full scale live sculpture of all four of the heroes.
Okay.
It looked so sweet.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's up my alley.
How about the Colonial Marines, Aliens? Yeah. Do you guys see much about that one?
I didn't, unfortunately.
No,
I just saw. I did see a thing like it. Like, you know, it's going to be on the Wii U.
Yeah, that was one of the big things. Like that, they're definitely kind of pushing the fact that they are. They understand that their hardcore gaming is a little bit on the weaker side, so they're opening themselves up to being more open to that.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like it would be a good fit too, because heck, that's practically one of the scanners right there. Like,
yeah.
Pwee, pwee. The little clip they had of it in the Nintendo demo, they actually had it is doing the
okay, that's pretty awesome.
The heartbeat monitor, the motion sensor.
Heck, the Vita could do that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, the only other thing I can think of that I saw, like I watched an interview for, was for Dead Space 3. Mm. They mentioned something I didn't know was, I mean, they're like, yes, it's official, it's coming out, and, you know, it's mm-hmm. going to be co-op. But the mm-hmm. thing I didn't know about was apparently you can play the game, like, single player.
Right.
Right.
And it's not going to have, like, an AI-controlled person there. It's just going to be Isaac, like, solo. Right. And then if you want, you can play the game as a co-op, and it'll be, like, different experiences because you have another person with you. So they said, like, there'll be certain side missions that'll open up because you have this other person. Whereas mm-hmm. if you played it by yourself, or, you know, just as Isaac, you wouldn't have access to. So I thought that was really cool. So
that is
you can
cool.
still get that.
And supposedly it's really
experience.
Slick, like dive in, dive out type of thing for people joining you too.
Right on.
So
That'll be cool. Actually got me excited when I heard they're going to make Dead Space 3. I'm like, Dead Space 3, I didn't even finish Dead Space 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other night I was stuck in this one fight in Dead Space 2 that, like, I could not, every time I tried to get through it, it just beat me down, but I conquered it last night. I'm like, okay.
Hooray!
There you go.
Move on to the next section, and then, like, okay, I got this next save point. I'm going to stop, put this down, finish Mass Effect 3, then come back to Dead Space 2, and then I'll be all ready for Dead Space 3.
E3 gave you the power.
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I think you have some time. I don't think it's coming out this year.
No, it's coming out in 2013.
Oh, so. Yeah, February, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he said.
So I got a little bit of time, but I want to make sure I'm...
Yeah.
I'm pumped. I started to watch the trailer, and I'm like, wait, no. Wait, no. Pre-knowledge. Yeah, it's got assumed knowledge in there. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You tricked me.
Yeah,
tricky.
Heck. Yeah. Heck.
Yeah, you'll want to wait.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I'm going to wait for that one because I'm sure there's something in there that I don't want to know about just yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see. They showed a demo for Resident Evil 6 in the Microsoft one.
Yeah, that did not... It looked interesting, and I had the same feeling about that one as you did about Call of Duty. I'm like,
okay.
Well, it's funny.
It's cool, but I'm like...
The thing that got me on that one is that it's the first time that I've seen them treat it as, like, a globe-trotting adventure with multiple heroes and so on.
Yeah.
That looks interesting to me.
Yeah, that should be cool.
I'll grant you that the expanding the cast of heroes does look like it'd be interesting.
Right.
And it does look like you can finally move and shoot, which is cool.
Yes. Move and shoot. Yeah. Yeah.
Hooray. Welcome to the present time, right. Capcom and Resident Evil.
Took you long enough.
Yeah. 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 The two guys that they had, it clearly English was not their first language. It was like, hey, could you demo this for us?
Hi.
Okay. Yeah. And so yeah, they played through with Leon and another character through a level mm-hmm. through the city. So,
it was a pretty cool demo, and the grenades were pretty effective.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, didn't see that one coming. But it was all right. I'll be curious to see how it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, another one of those things. You know, if you're a big fan of the series, you know, you'll probably pick it up. So
mm-hmm.
probably pick it up, you know. But
what other ones looked interesting?
I'm trying to think what else they showed.
I see on your list Tekken Tag 2.
Oh yeah, that's coming out for the Wii U. And
yeah,
I'm sure that's
going
to land on all the other systems too. So that's going to be like an all three system game. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I didn't really watch any. Well, sort of, but I guess the Dead or Alive 5, which I'll probably pick up, I guess the developers and everything are, like, really big fans of Virtual Fighter, so they're throwing in a few of the Virtual Fighter characters
into
the series.
Yeah, it is funny, like, all of the stuff that I've seen for that so far, just because they've pushed themselves as being... Like, okay, we're going to take it more serious. We're going to try and take it away from, like, tons and tons of bouncing cleavage and stuff like that. but pretty much everything that they put out has a prominent position for said bounciness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's never going to escape its roots, probably, or
right,
something. Or
just... Yeah,
it's part of the horror movie genre. It's it's kind of guaranteed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I know, man, as anyone, Twitter world or Facebook,
no,
any other
it's
games?
Been, it's pretty quiet for now, but let's see.
I mean, I know like the South Park game was mm-hmm. brought up earlier. I mean, they showed off, their big thing was... Mm-hmm. Like having you
as
be
one,
uh-huh. be in, like they really wanted it to be uh-huh. you're playing an episode of the show. So
right.
that was kind of funny, them talking when they mentioned like, okay, yeah, you're going to go to Stan's house or then you
yeah.
go to Kyle's house. And
that
like,
was,
you know,
is...
we'd always cut to their house. We never actually
right.
show, where are they?
Go to the school.
Where is the school? Yeah.
So that's one of the things they've been doing is just spending a lot of time mapping out what South Park looks like.
Yeah.
Did you got either of you see the Star Wars 1313 demo?
I watched an interview that showed footage for it. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's probably as much as you're gonna see. The Spike
yeah.
TV thing.
I didn't see that, but okay. but yeah, I watched an IGN like interview thing that, you know, showed some clips and they mm-hmm. talked to some of the creators and stuff. And yeah, I want that game.
That look when it comes to in-game engines, this one is going to really push the bounds of what an in-game engine can look like. The
yeah
Lucasfilm LucasArts and ILM got together. And they said, let's make a cool Star Wars game. And so this is what they have.
Skywalker Sound. Yeah, like everyone. Yeah,
yeah, pretty much everyone in the Lucas in Lucas that isn't Lucasfilm got together and said, let's make a cool game. And they said, okay.
Yeah. And I love it. It's like, you're playing a bounty hunter. You're not playing a Jedi. There's no force powers. Thank you.
Finally.
I don't want to play a Jedi.
it's like going back to bounty hunter on the,
yeah.
on the GameCube.
Yeah,
I have to go back a long way to find a game that isn't about a Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the interview that I watched, they were talking about how, like, really sort of stressing that, where, mm-hmm. like, now that you're playing a regular human, quote-unquote, like,
right.
falling from distances or being able to do all these certain things, like, that's really more of a major thing now, because you're not just, uh-huh. you don't have these magical powers of, like...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to fall. Oh, I can just land. Like, okay. You know, like,
yeah.
you're like, no, that's going to be an issue. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, I was wondering too, like, okay, what does 1313 mean? And then I found out what it is.
Yeah. It has to do with Coruscant specifically. So
yeah, it's basically the level
mm-hmm.
that the game takes place on in
yeah.
Coruscant. Because Coruscant is like, if you're not familiar with the Star Wars lore, it's like a city planet just built level layers and layers and layers on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
This is layer 1313.
Yeah.
That the game okay. takes place on. So, and they were really wanting to push too that, like, because of where it takes place, like making it look like a real dirty, grimy, like lived in world
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a lot of the other places in some of the Star Wars ones that you play where it's, you know, like, shiny new
right. yeah.
stuff.
It looks like,
near
like
the
Old
top.
Republic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Any of the Old Republic games look a little bit shiny compared to this place. Like this is a totally different look for.
Yeah. It's more like.
So fans of the Warhammer universe, it's very Underhive kind of.
Yes. Yeah. Like here's the cantina. Here's, you know, Mos Eisley. Like
mm-hmm.
here's those places, the Outer Rim. Like.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that you're going to
okay.
see and that sort of thing. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As a bounty hunter, you still have some pretty cool tools, but
yeah.
you're not. You're, but it's a more realistic Star Wars game, if that can be.
Yeah, something about like as far as the story goes, something about some kind of criminal conspiracy sort
mm-hmm.
of thing. They didn't really go mm-hmm. into a
yeah,
lot
yeah.
The
story is still pretty hush hush. They're mostly talking about technology, showing off their technologies, and that the in-game all the in-game engine for the. The rent for the everything's done in the engine, like the cinematics are in the engine. Even in it just looks really cool.
Yeah,
I can't express how cool this game looks.
Yeah. So, can think of any other games pop to mind. Or
sheesh.
I know. I think.
Shoot.
I can't think of anything else. But if there were some games that we didn't touch on, or the basic question, what did you enjoy from E3 out there? Like, you know, mm-hmm. let us know what your favorite stuff was, what you didn't like, and I'm curious, Caleb. What? Do you have, like, it doesn't have to be the number one thing, but is there something that was, like, stand out at this E3? It was just like, oh, man, I can't wait to get my hands on that, or I'd like to get my hands on that.
Oh, man.
I know it's, I mean, it's the same question to Super Jason as
Smart
well.
Glass.
Smart Glass?
Yeah, period. Okay. Yeah, hands down, 100%.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll let you think about it. Like, when they were first talking about that, they didn't really kind of say that, like, oh, it's an app. It's the same, like, what is it? Okay, like, how am I getting my hands on this? Is this, right. like, a new tablet or, like, you know, like, is this your new Windows 8 tablet or
especially
something?
Especially since
or?
They own, like, the, the desktop, like, multi-touch technology.
Yeah,
Surface.
Yeah, the Surface technology. Yeah, I was totally expecting it at first to be like, oh, they're making a Surface project for 360. And it's like, actually, that's way smarter than even that. So.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, Apple. Like, oh, okay, yeah. Which, when we were talking cell phones, they did mention in the PlayStation 1, I'll still let you think why, teaming up with HTC for... They were working on this thing called PlayStation Suite, I believe, that they talked about in last E3, which was like stuff with mobile devices and giving developers and all that stuff to like be able to work create stuff for the PlayStation Network, and then like using mobile devices or all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
they changed it now to just playing PlayStation Mobile, which is a lot better than PlayStation 3. Uh-huh. Like, it just fit. They're like, we're changing it now to PlayStation Mobile. Like,
it totally sounds like some old, like, 90s sense. Moniker, like, PlayStation Sweet.
Yeah. but, yeah, I guess they're teaming up with HTC for some of that stuff or doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, they're kind of the flagship partner for this for their next thing.
So, yeah, I forgot what wanted to mention that was since that was Sony specific sort of thing, but yeah, what do you think?
Definitely looking forward to Tomb Raider, because like something like that and The Last of Us, like those two, like they sort of like raise the bar for like what I see like games kind of like doing and pushing the bounds of like interactions with the game world. Like those two are kind of
just like putting young women in danger. It sounds like,
oh yeah, that's what Caleb does.
I will neither confirm nor deny this. This is because Mass Effect 3. Most of my typical team was Liara and Tali. So I don't know how to respond to
and
this.
Like, well,
they're
full danger.
Grown women, so
yeah,
it's not the same.
Okay.
You're okay there.
You're safe.
All right. Very good then.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, that was a heck of a show, guys.
Yeah, I think so. I know I'm going to get home and be like, oh, that game. How did we forget not to talk about that one? It was huge, blah, blah, blah. You know.
Yeah, I suspect that'll be core for next week also. It's like all the stuff we forgot to talk about this week.
You know what? That's a good idea. Let's think, because there's, I know they showed off, like, Devil May Cry, they showed off, I know there's a bunch of other stuff, so yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll continue the third-party E3 stuff.
Because that is Legion.
In core of next week, yeah. And then what we can do is, we'll put it out to you all out there in the audience world.
That's right.
Because we're going to continue it for next, you know, let us know ones that you thought were really cool or what you liked, and then we can branch off from there and go, like, oh yeah, that game, oh yeah, that one, because I know there's so much.
Like when you look at pictures of the show floor, it's just littered with booths, big booths, little booths, everywhere. It's like every square
everywhere booth
Old E3, he had a booth. B-O-O-O-U. Anyways, it's a...
yeah.
It is like wall to wall, top to bottom, noise, light, and gaming booths, like for everything. I have to spend a little time trying to dig up some of the independent stuff, because like there's always like a two or three of them that are just like out of nowhere. You're like, where does that game been all of our lives? Kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, oh, I hope that comes out soon. Like, that looks pretty slick. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that I was a little bit disappointed by, like, after seeing all these bright, shiny booths with really neat displays or like some cool thing, I finally saw it since I watched Dead Space on Facebook. They shared pictures of their room. And it looked really boring. It was like, why did you even share that? It's just some screens with like some chunks of foam cut to like look like mountains with a little bit of light behind them. It's like, compared to everybody else, I'm sorry. Yeah, don't even show that.
Yeah.
Just show your game.
That's what we want to see. But yeah, I mean, there's like the Metro Last Light. There's way too many. It's making my brain hurt, and my stomach wants food in it. So
yeah, and it's getting late. You've all been very generous. Thank you. Please tune in next week. Again.
Yes, thank you for sticking around for our E3 coverage special show, which we will continue a little bit next week. I mean, it'll be back to normal show, but with a little more E3 thrown in the core section.
Yeah.
But again, we thank you for sticking around. We are Robots Attack. We are here every Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. Sometimes we go a little longer, sometimes not. Just kind of depends how we want to roll it, if we can, you know, that sort of thing. But we do appreciate, as always, you listening and sticking around. And we always love when you participate, and Caleb is going to tell you how you can do that.
Well, you can start by hitting our webpage, robotsattack.me. On there is the interact page, where you can find our Twitter account, which is robotsattackme. And our Facebook page link, because the URL is not very good. But if you do a search for Robots Attack, you'll find us, or you just follow the link on the page, the interact page. And then, obviously, there is our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. So that is all the ways to get in touch with us. And you can find archives of our episodes on our webpage. Please, 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 let us know what at E3 caught your eye. Big, small, tiny town, independent, big, any of the developers, like what has you excited about the next year of gaming?
Yes. Please let us know. Hell, you can even let us know, I hate E3. Please don't talk about it anymore. Hey, yep. we're open to whatever. So
let us know. We want to know what you guys are into, what you're thinking about.
Yeah. Alrighty, everyone. Have a great evening, great weekend, whenever you're listening to this. Great day, morning, afternoon, leap year, whenever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Transit of Venus.
Yeah. The power of podcasting. Who knows when you're listening to this?
Exactly.
Maybe you're riding on Venus right now.
Yeah. Whoa. It's like the future, and you're listening to this like way back then and all that stuff. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. We salute you.
Yes.
Future people.
Alrighty, everyone. Take it easy. Raccoon, Veronica, Nicktoe.